We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
As we figure out what flu strains have been circulating in places like Australia or South America, which sort of predicts what strains are likely to come into our country, there's been so little flu in those two areas, I think it's going to be hard for us to try and figure out what flu strains to pick. But you're right. If we mask and social distance every winter, we will see a dramatic reduction in flu, which usually causes hundreds of thousands of hospitalizations and tens of thousands of deaths. I wonder whether that will be the lesson from this.
So we're going to mask every winter now. That's what we're going to do. I wonder how many masks we're going to wear every winter. Wait and see. Stay tuned. We are going to listen in to Governor Andrew Cuomo. Right now he's giving an update on COVID in New York. And I mean, I care about it, but I don't need you to know everything he says about the state of New York. But it is suspected that he is going to make potentially a statement. So I don't know. I mean, he's got a lot of controversy, so I don't know exactly what the statement is going to be. Is it going to be on any of the three women who have come forward to accuse him of sexual harassment? Or is it going to be on the controversy surrounding his the removal of his emergency powers that the state legislature has pushed through trying to do here? Or is it going to be calls for his resignation or calls for his impeachment or calls about controversy surrounding the deaths in the nursing homes? I don't know what it's going to be. It's like a grab bag of controversy. So, Katie, keep your ear on that. And if we get out of the COVID positivity rates in the five different areas of New York City, and we could talk about more things other than that. So we're going to wear masks every winter now. It's like we just found out that people get sick from one another. If you've had children, you know that people get sick from one another. You also know that in some capacity, the way that we live with one another and expose ourselves to one another will make our immune system stronger in the long run. Granted, there are people, I think it's very possible that if you're somebody who has had some kind of, immune compromised situation, or if you are somebody who is around somebody who's like that, maybe you will feel much more comfortable wearing a mask in the winter and keeping yourself safe and others. Maybe it'll be less taboo than it was before. Although I don't ever remember like seeing someone with a mask on and like looking at them and like privately shaming them. I don't care. I don't care what you do. Put this out on Twitter at Annie Fry Show. Follow me if you haven't yet. For all of you left on Twitter. But you know, Texas and Mississippi yesterday got rid of their mask mandates. Folks, if you want to wear a mask in Texas and Mississippi, you can still wear a mask in Mississippi and Texas. You're not allowed to wear masks. That's never been the case. The difference here has always been government mandate of these types of decisions. So if you are in the state of Texas and you think people should be wearing masks, when you go out, wear masks. Wear a mask or masks. Honestly, you can wear as many as you want. That's how we do it here in America. If you have a want or a need in that capacity, you do it. And if you don't feel comfortable going inside to eat, then don't go inside to eat. I mean, I support your decision for that. I had friends over the past weekend who have not been over to our house. We thought it was probably close to a year to the date that we had hung out together. And these are the people who we hung out with the most. And they came over and they wore masks. And I thought, you know, we were both like, yeah, that's fine. If you want, you don't have to. We told them right away, like, you don't have to do this. And they wanted to. And so that was fine. That's how we got together. They made a choice. We make a choice. And we go on with our evening. When did we get away from that? Because I don't know that. I don't know that you can go back to mid-March of last year and say we weren't already on our road to forgetting that we have choice in the matter, that we weren't in a position where we were, you know, sacrificing potentially liberty for security. They've done such a good job of providing such messed up information over the course of time. It confuses everybody, and people want to do the right thing. The majority of people out there right now absolutely want to do the right thing. They're not out there to make trouble, but they don't want trouble to be made around them either. So if you're in Texas and you want to wear a mask, if you're in Mississippi and you want to wear a mask, wear it. Don't be afraid to wear it. Listen to Joe Scarborough here, this about Ron DeSantis, everybody's favorite villain here in Florida.
You look at CPAC and the people that got the biggest cheers there, not the people that are going to win elections, mind you, but the people who got the biggest cheers there were the people that were most reckless and irresponsible. Ron DeSantis, which he's used his stupidity on addressing COVID as actually his calling card for running for president in 2024. He's ahead in a lot of those straw polls in CPAC. Kristi Noem, who was stupid enough, thought she was being cool on 4th of July to say, we're having this big event, and no, you don't have to wear masks, and no, there's not going to be social distancing. This was back in July.
Well, what are the catastrophes that came out of those instances? What, let's, you know, I guess we don't necessarily know how tragic CPAC is going to end up being until we're maybe 10, 15 days out of it. And, you know, tragic is the way I would look at it. He'd probably be dancing a jig if he sees a catastrophe come out of CPAC because there were not masks required and not social distancing required. Point to me the big stories about how those were terrible decisions in the long run. You know what they did? They looked bad. You know why they looked bad? Because morons like Joe Scarborough are out there trying to make sure that nothing ever looks bad ever. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. We can go back to the Super Bowl. Tampa Bay in Florida. The mayor of Tampa Bay shaming people, saying that they were going to seek out non-mask wearers after the Super Bowl got over. And then all of a sudden, that story just faded away. What was it that made that story just fade? Oh, yeah, that's right. They showed a picture of her in the booth at the Super Bowl not wearing a mask. Oh, my heavens, people. The hypocrisy is the most contagious thing for Democrats in the last year. Do as I say, not as I do. We are keeping kids out of our schools because of this. We are inflicting an enormous amount of mental health self-harm with our children. We don't know how bad this is for them, and it's all in the name of science, yet you don't show the science that backs up what you're talking about. We are defaulting to the complete and total surrender of our freedom at this point for what? It's, to me, Joe Scarborough and what he just said there about CPAC and how irresponsible he was. The scariest thing to Joe Scarborough in that clip that I just played is that Ron DeSantis could run for president. That's the thing he fears the most. It's not COVID. It's not, he doesn't care about the people of Florida. He doesn't care about the people in Orlando. I mean, good grief. If you listen to the show, you know I like Disney World. There are people going to Disney World every day. They're at 35% capacity or something. There are more people gathered on Pirates of the Caribbean than were at CPAC that last week. And he's not barking about that. Why? Because he's not afraid of the politics of it. It's enormously political. It's always political. There are common sense things that you and I can do in order to slow the spread, in order to pitch in and try to be responsible in the way that we manage going forward. We can get the vaccine if we choose to get the vaccine. We can take care of our neighbors. We can respect the space of those people who want their space to be respected. We can respect the wishes of business owners who prefer us to wear a mask when we walk into their business, their place of work, their livelihood. We can do all those things. But we don't need to sit around and wait for our government overlord babysitters to mandate it to us so that we know what we need to do next. Because as far as I'm looking at this right now, I mean, good grief, we could pull up Governor Cuomo right now. We could talk about the deaths that have taken place in New York. We could talk about the nursing home deaths that have taken place in New York. We could go and do the same for California. We could compare notes between them and, you know, the big bad guys, Kristi Noem in South Dakota and Ron DeSantis in Florida. Let's compare the numbers. Because if you can't point on a piece of paper with actual math, which I've heard is racist, so maybe I'm off my rocker here a little bit, or with actual science, which apparently is something that we can invest in selectively when it helps us politically, which also seems absolutely unscientific. Maybe if we compare those notes, I'll do it on your terms. Pick the stat and show it to me. You cannot illustrate that Ron DeSantis and Kristi Noem have what you're assuming and asserting is their large irresponsibility has affected their states worse than the people who shut everything down and created multiple crises on the side of the public health crisis that we're dealing with. It's maddening. And I saw a Babylon Bee article that said Texas removes mask mandate to scare all the Californians back to California. I was like, that was a really smart idea.
Smart.
It's the smartest political move I've seen so far. You go back to your blue state and do your blue state types of things. We're Texas. It just blows my mind. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll connect again and see if Cuomo has made that statement. And I'd be very interested to hear what he has to say about the copious amounts of controversies that he's under. The state legislature is taking action against him. We'll talk about that as well when we come back. And I mean, honestly, folks, is the biggest scandal that's in front of Cuomo right now sexual harassment? It's a big deal. But it's bad when your sexual harassment scandals are being used to divert from the ones where thousands of people died. He's in a bad place. Let's talk about it when we come back. Don't go away. So we're still monitoring the Andrew Cuomo. He's doing a COVID-related press conference. And the word on the street, which is, means I've gotten news alerts from various entities saying that he's supposed to make a statement. We're curious to what that statement is going to be about. So Katie's keeping her eyes and ears on it. He hasn't said anything yet, right?
He has not said anything, but on Fox, it does say soon Cuomo will be taking questions.
Ooh, so we'll do that.
That's what I'm ready for.
Here is legislation to scale back Cuomo's emergency powers. So, and remember, this is New York. This would be like if Illinois was starting to take these types of actions. This is very blue. And so to see this means this is not like a Republican-led effort against the Democrats. This has got to be led by Democrats. This is the legislation to scale back Cuomo's emergency powers, repeals Cuomo's temporary emergency powers. Cuomo's COVID-19 mandates remain, masks, vaccinations, and indoor dining, and must now notify and respond to lawmakers before modifying extending orders. So basically, he's got to check with mom and dad, the board, if you will, before he decides to modify anything going forward. But it sounds like as far as what he has in place right now with masks, vaccinations, and indoor dining, that would stay in place. I think it's pretty crazy to think. You look at the two coastal governors between Gavin Newsom, who has had they're successfully working to recall him. Mm-hmm. They can't do that in New York because they don't have a recall effort in play in their state government structure. But to see states that are they're as blue can be, and the people aren't happy. And this would not have happened if it weren't for COVID. I mean, COVID is really bringing out into the forefront, like, okay, so if you're going to handle a crisis, how's it going to be? In these two states, they've been so incredibly restrictive. And, you know, specifically to Cuomo's circumstances, his policy of taking COVID-positive patients and putting them in nursing homes caused the lives of lots of people, cost them their lives. And people are upset about it. There are some things that are more important to people than politics, and life and death has got to be one of them, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue to watch this. I mean, let me see here. Is Fox still off mm-hmm. the topic right now?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll just be interested to see how it goes, because, you know, Cuomo can step down and resign. But if you can't recall him, if the people can't recall him, it's going to have to be done in the legislature. Is it going to force their hand or not? I don't know.
I think it's crazy that he's holding a press briefing since, according to Fox News, since February 19th. This is the first time he's held a press briefing, and it's been all about COVID. And I know it's part of the strategy. I know he's not going to come right out of the gate saying anything about these allegations against him. But my goodness, the press briefing has been about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and not a word has been spoken. He has not said a thing about the assaults. I mean, excuse me, the sexual harassment charges.
Katie, are you waiting for him? Like, is that what you want to hear? Do you want to hear him talk about that? I mean, because there's a lot of stuff on the table right now that his statement could be about.
Well, I think the nursing home stuff is the first thing I would like him to have to speak about. I hope somebody asks some hard questions to him about it. But certainly these allegations against him, I want to hear what he has to say. And I know he probably doesn't have something up his sleeve. So I'm thinking that, I know you said a statement has to come out, but I'm thinking it's going to have to be questions from these reporters. That's when they're going to have to really push him to get this nursing home case and to also get these sexual harassment allegations out.
And if he doesn't answer questions, that's a problem. I mean,
yeah,
you could shift this to the federal government and consider how inaccessible Joe Biden has been as the president of the United States. He doesn't, I mean, good grief, we could not get away from Donald Trump being in front of, if Donald Trump did a press conference and then had to get on a plane to go to, like, say, Texas to see the border, we would hear from Donald Trump at the press conference, then we would see him at the helicopter, then we would see him when he landed at the airport in Texas, and then we would see him next to the border wall, and he would be the one answering the questions every time. I get it if that's not your thing. I get it if you're like, it's too much Trump. Obviously, the country has spoken in that capacity, at least for the time being. But how much do you miss that access? How much do you miss the information, the answers, whether you love the answers or you hated the answers, at least you had some answers. And same with Cuomo here. I mean, these elected officials are beholden to the people who elected them. They serve us. We do not serve these people. They always owe us answers. Of course, you put lawyers in the mix, and that maybe in some of the cases Cuomo's facing, they might be like, you might not want to say anything. But we're not getting a lot of information from a lot of these different Democrat leaders, and I think that that's a concerning problem.
Annie, I think he's answering questions right now.
All right, let's go to it.
Say, I shouldn't say anything when you have a pending review until that review is over. I understand that. I'm a lawyer too. But I want New Yorkers to hear from me directly on this. First, I fully support a woman's right to come forward. And I think it should be encouraged in every way. I now understand that I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable. It was unintentional, and I truly and deeply apologize for it. I feel awful about it, and frankly, I am embarrassed by it. And that's not easy to say, but that's the truth. But this is what I want you to know, and I want you to know this from me directly. I never touched anyone inappropriately. I never touched anyone inappropriately. I never knew at the time that I was making anyone feel uncomfortable. I never knew at the time I was making anyone feel uncomfortable. And I certainly never, ever meant to offend anyone or hurt anyone or cause anyone any pain. That is the last thing I would ever want to do. I ask the people of this state to wait for the facts from the Attorney General's report before forming an opinion. Get the facts, please, before forming an opinion. And the Attorney General is doing that review. I will fully cooperate with it. And then you will have the facts. And make a decision when you know the facts. I also want you to know that I have learned from what has been an incredibly difficult situation for me as well as other people. And I've learned an important lesson. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for whatever pain I caused anyone. I never intended it. And I will be the better for this experience. Thank you. Questions?
Thank you, Governor. If you would like to ask a question, please use the raise hand function at the bottom of your window. We'll take a brief moment to compile the Q&A roster. Governor, your first question comes from Marsha Kramer of WCBS. Marsha, your line is now open. Please unmute your microphone.
Governor, can you hear me?
Marsha Kramer, the dean of the delegation.
So, Governor, I have actually two questions. First of all, I wonder if, given the distractions of these two investigations, especially the one involving sexual harassment, you feel that you might want to step aside, or that you should step aside, especially in negotiating the budget, which could be one of the most important budgets that the state has ever had to deal with. And my second question has to do with the pictures that have surfaced of you touching the face of Anna Ruck. The reason I'm asking the question is that I've also seen circulated pictures of you touching the faces of people all over the state, young and old, whatever, and I wonder what you make of those pictures.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Marsha. Let me take both questions. First, you're right about the state budget. It is critically important. The state budget is going to turn the page to the rebuilding phase. We've been working very hard to get funding from Washington to fill the gap. And that has been going well. We have to see what we actually get. But we then have tremendous financial needs on top of that. People have to pay their rent, they need food, et cetera. You also have New York City, which is in a very precarious situation. It's teetering, to use a word. Crime is way up. Homelessness is way up. Many people have left New York City. Hamptons, Mid-Hudson Valley, other states. We have to get New York City functional again, and safe again, and viable again. And we have to do that quickly. We have a new mayor that's going to be selected basically in June, I guess. Something could happen in November, but basically in June. And that work has to start right away. So yes, the budget is very important. Having said
that, should you step aside, though, and let somebody else handle it?
Yeah. Having said that, I'm going to cooperate with the Attorney General's investigation and do the budget. Remember, we did a budget last year in the spring, in the heat of COVID, where it was the most intense period of my life, of this government's life, of this state's life. And we did both, and we'll do both here. On the pictures, Marsha, I understand the opinion of and feelings of Ms. Ruhr. And you are right. You can find hundreds of pictures of me making the same gesture with hundreds of people, women, men, children, etc. You can go find hundreds of pictures of me kissing people. men, women. It is my usual and customary way of greeting. You know that because you've watched me for, let's just say, more years than we care to remember. By the way, it was my father's way of greeting people. You're the governor of the state. You want people to feel comfortable. You want to reach out to them. I kiss and hug legislators. I was at an event in Queens the other day. Hugged the pastors and the assembly members who were there. So that is my way to do that. However, what I also understand is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter my intent. What it matters is if anybody was offended by it. And I could intend no offense, but if they were offended by it, then it was wrong. And if they were offended by it, I apologize. And if they were hurt by it, I apologize. And if they felt pain from it, I apologize. I apologize. I did not intend it. I didn't mean it that way. But if that's how they felt, that's all that matters, and I apologize. Next question, operator.
Governor, your next question comes from Dave Evans from WABC. Dave, your line is now open. Please unmute your microphone.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, Dave.
Governor, I just wanted to ask you, with all these calls in the last couple of days calling for your resignation from some Democrats, certainly not all Democrats, but some Democrats, is today, since you've been gone for about a week, is this your way of saying, I'm certainly not resigning?
Yeah. Dave, look, some politicians will always play politics, right? That's the nature of the beast. I don't think today is a day for politics. I wasn't elected by politicians. I was elected by the people of the state of New York. I'm not going to resign. I work for the people of the state of New York. They elected me, and I'm going to serve the people of the state of New York. And by the way, we have a full plate. We have COVID. We have recovery. We have rebuilding. We have a teetering New York City. We have a terrible financial picture. We have to do vaccines. So, no. I'm going to do the job the people of the state elected me to do. Next question, operator.
Governor, your next question comes from Andrew Siff of WNBC. Andrew, your line is now open. Please unmute your microphone.
Governor, good afternoon. Two questions. The first is, given how contrite you've been today, why did it take a week for you to go before the cameras when people have noted your absence for so many days? My second question is, what assurances can you provide New Yorkers that there are not other accusers who worked for you who will lodge similar complaints to the two that have already been alleged?
Yeah, two things, Andrew. The I apologized several days ago. I apologize today. I will apologize tomorrow. I will apologize the day after. And I want New Yorkers to understand, because this is more, the facts will come out in the Attorney General's review, but I want them to understand the emotion, because it's really, for me, it's as much about the emotion. I never knew at the time that I was making anyone feel uncomfortable. I never ever meant to offend anyone or hurt anyone or cause anyone pain. I feel terrible that these people felt uncomfortable, felt hurt, felt pain from the interactions. And I'm embarrassed by it, and I feel bad from it. I'm not in this business to make people feel uncomfortable. I'm here to make them, to help them. That's the essence of what I do, what I do. I do not believe I have ever done anything in my public career that I am ashamed of. I didn't know I was making her uncomfortable at the time. I feel badly that I did. I'm going to learn from it. Marsha asked me about, you know, my usual custom is to kiss and to hug and make that gesture. I understand that sensitivities have changed and behavior has changed. And I get it, and I'm going to learn from it. Next question.
Governor, your next question comes from Karina Jerry of WUTR. Karina, your line is now open. Please unmute your microphone.
Thank you, Governor. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. So I actually have two questions. My first one is, if a member of your administration had done what you are currently accused of and have admitted to, what would you tell them and what would be a satisfactory disposition for you?
Well, let's be clear on the facts. First, we haven't gotten the facts. Let the Attorney General do a review and let's get the facts. And that's what I said in my statement to New Yorkers. I'm a former Attorney General. I've been through a situation too many times where everybody has an opinion because they read this, and then all of a sudden the facts come out and it's a different situation. So wait for the facts before you form an opinion. And as I said, my behavior here, I never touched anyone inappropriately. I never knew at the time that I was making anyone feel uncomfortable. And if I ever did make people feel uncomfortable, which I now understand that I have, I apologize for it. But then let the Attorney General's office actually review the facts. Next.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question, operator.
Governor, your next question comes from Jeff Kulikowski of WSYR. Jeff, your line is now open. Please unmute your microphone.
Hi, Governor. I was curious, and I know you said and apologized several times this afternoon. Who were you apologizing to?
I was apologizing to the young woman who worked here who said that I made her feel uncomfortable. And in the workplace.
Were you also speaking to New Yorkers, Governor?
Oh, to New Yorkers, I am saying that I'm embarrassed by what happened. I wear a pin that says pride, integrity, performance. That's what it says on the pin. You can't read it. Pride, integrity, performance. So I'm embarrassed that someone felt that way in my administration. I'm embarrassed and hurt, and I apologize that somebody who interacted with me felt that way. I didn't know at the time I was making her feel uncomfortable. I never meant to, but that doesn't matter. If a person feels uncomfortable, if a person feels pain, if a person is offended, I feel very badly about that, and I apologize for it.
So there's Governor Andrew Cuomo. He is taking questions now after making a statement regarding the sexual harassment charges that are out there towards him. And he's putting himself on the altar of, I didn't know I was doing anything, but I'm very sorry that I made people uncomfortable. And he speaks so slowly. It's impossibly slowly. I'm like, you could talk faster and we'd still be able to keep up with you. But he speaks so deliberately and slowly.
I think that this is what people on drugs must feel like. Just like the world.
Wait, listening to him or the way
he's
speaking?
Just the way he's speaking, how slowly he's speaking. I'm like, this is what someone on drugs must be doing when they're looking at the world.
It's unbelievable. Well, let's take a quick break. I'll tell you a funny story about the last 10 minutes when we come back here real quick. Don't go away. You're listening to the Annie Fry Show. Join us on the Facebook Live or the Annie Fry Show YouTube channel. Just type in Annie Fry in YouTube. You'll see we're live right now and you can join the chat. And sometimes, folks, you can see some things going on in the background that you can't hear on the radio. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Glad you're here. Glad I'm here in general. So I got a notification earlier today at my house that there was an internet outage, but I went and checked everything in my house. I mean, I need the internet to talk to you. And everything was fine. And then right in the middle of the Cuomo press conference there, my internet shuts off. I run upstairs, which, folks, I'm just going to be honest. I'm about 25 weeks pregnant. This girl don't run. Mm-hmm. There's no running. There's steps. I walk on the treadmill 20 minutes a day. 3 to 5 times a week, and that is like the extent of it these days. And I go to reboot my internet real quick, and all of a sudden I hear this noise, and I realize I look out my front window, and there are Spectrum internet trucks out there because the outage existed. It just didn't start at my house, but they had to shut the internet down. And I, like a crazy person, they probably have nightmares from this experience. They were so nice and so kind. I come out the front door, I'm like, what are you doing? And they're probably like, hard jobs. What are you doing, crazy lady? And I was like, I'm broadcasting a radio show in my basement downstairs right now in St. Louis. How long is this going to take? And they're like, well, I'm surprised you even had internet to start. And I'm like, well, I did, but I don't now. And they said it should come right back on. And I was like, okay. So I said, I'm going to go back inside. I'm going to see if it comes right back. And they're like, we might have to turn it off later. And I'm like, when?
Oh, no.
And they're like, just for a minute. I said, okay, it's going to be on now. And I'm going to go in and I'm going to get rebooted. I'm going to see if it's up. And then we'll go from there. And then right in the middle of that Cuomo press conference, they came up to my door and they rang the doorbell. I have one of those Ring doorbells on my house. And I couldn't go upstairs because I'm talking to you folks. I'm here. I'm listening to Andrew Cuomo say he's sorry that he upset people, and I need to be able to be here. So I answer the Ring doorbell on my phone, and I'm like, hi, I'm sorry that I was so out of sorts, like heaved over in my front yard trying to catch my breath going, what are you doing? And then they're like, everything's done, everything's fine, we've got it fixed, and just want to let you know, and we're real sorry. They were so nice and so quick about it. And I was a psycho crazy pregnant lady running out in my yard asking people who were doing their job what they were doing.
That is one of the worst things that could happen for this show, though. If you were to tell me, which we did, and we were panic texting back and forth.
This is why you watch the webcam, folks.
Yes, we were both panic texting, and I was like, my eyes were huge. I'm like, okay, this could take a while. We don't have a timestamp on how long Charter is going to be working outside. We've got to be prepared.
Yeah. They were so nice. I was
very sweet.
I don't want to say that I was like rude, but I was emphatic when I went out into my front yard and probably scared the guy who was in the cherry picker. I regret the haste with which I went out there, but we did get the problem solved.
I want to see that video.
No, it's on my Ring video here, and I'm like, how do I delete this? This needs to not ever be seen by anybody. It's so bad. I'm embarrassed.
If it's fisheye, it'll make you look like you're doing like 100 miles an hour out the door, though.
It is not fisheye.
Well, that'd be kind of cool.
Cuomo and I, what you get from the noon hour is that Cuomo and I are very embarrassed. We're just embarrassed for very different reasons. Stick around. We're going to speak with Zach Smith about HR1. That crazy bill in just a minute. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.